Oh, it's great to have your company. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Justine Toe.
And you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Now, in the discussion around the contribution of Christianity to society, people sometimes point out that the majority of top charities in Australia are faith-based organisations. The faith factor seems critical in the work that these organisations do. And that work is something that we can all be glad of, regardless of our own position on matters spiritual. Well, Toby Hall is the CEO of one of Australia's largest and oldest charity organisations, Mission Australia. In what ways would our communities generally be worse off without organisations like Mission Australia doing what they do?
If you look at Australia today and switched off all the Christian organisations, we would wake up in a desperate state tomorrow morning. If you look right across the country in terms of hospitals that have been established through Christian organisations that still have a Christian heritage, schools that have been established through church networks still have a Christian heritage, non-profit organisations, the Salvos, Anglicare, Uniting Care, Mission Australia, I could go on for hours and hours, the Red Cross was formed by Christians, all this good stuff has come out of the church, out of the Christian community, and is served for a long time and still serving today. Just imagine if that was all taken away tomorrow, what would Australia be like? Where would people go? Who would do the caring? And invariably, I think something different would rise up from the heart of people of faith and people who care. But it'd be a pretty sad society if all that stuff disappeared. I'd be desperately sad if the Salvos weren't here. How would life be if you didn't have the Salvos around? It'd be terrible.
Can I ask, a big part of the Australian story is this idea of a fair go, and it seems that Mission Australia is working for a fairer Australia. So what are the biggest challenges to that fairness?
I think one of the big issues that we've got to face is often people just don't understand how bad things get for some Australians. And personally, I was shocked. I used to work for an overseas aid organisation, hadn't looked around Australia, but when I got to go around and see what communities were facing in Australia, you suddenly realise there's whole communities with high unemployment, large numbers of youth unemployment. We've got places in Australia with over 50% youth unemployment, high populations of broken marriages or single parents, communities without access to good education, without access to employment. And when you start to look at that, you suddenly realise that poverty in Australia, which many people think, well, surely it's their fault, actually often isn't their fault. It's our fault. We created society how it is. We created the communities and the housing and the environment that people are in that doesn't allow them to thrive. And there's a responsibility, therefore, on all of us to turn around and say, well, what can we do to change that for the children and for the next generation to make it different for them? And that's what Mission Australia wants to do.
Now, you mentioned those sort of things like generational unemployment, and sometimes there's alcohol and drug abuse or dependence in those communities. It can sometimes force people into a terrible cycle, can't it? You see children brought up in those environments are really on the back foot from the beginning, and it's very difficult to break that cycle. No doubt, though, you've got some good stories about ways you can sort of intervene and then sort of reverse some of that spiral into poverty.
Yeah, absolutely. And school is a classic example. Look, if you didn't like school as a parent and it wasn't good for you and you dropped out year nine, you know, it's kind of hard to get excited for your kids when it's the first day at school thinking, yes, we're going to go into school. And therefore, often the kids' experience on the first day of school is tainted by mum's memory or dad's memory of what school was like for them. And so one of the things you can do is actually work with parents to say, you know, it might have been a bad experience for you, but let's make it a good experience for your child. Let's give them the opportunity to thrive in education, and let's help you through the process of making that a success for them. Really simple things like mum and dad might have struggled with reading, and if they can't read, how can they help with homework? Saying, okay, well, how can we give you capacity or get people around you can help with that kind of stuff? And small things to create intervention to give people a bit more confidence can make a big change. So I'm a big believer that the next generation needs our support, and the parents of the next generation particularly need our support in how to be good parents. And frankly, look, I grew up in a family and kind of picked up something around parenting, but no one really gave me training skills, how to deal with anger management, how to deal with a crying baby, any of that stuff. And frankly, as a parent, that stuff's pretty hard. if you grew up in a very difficult environment with poor parenting and that's the only thing you know, that's your context, and it's very easy to repeat that. So one of the things we can do is start to break into those cycles and say, let's help you succeed where maybe you didn't in the past.
We talked about the Christian factor in some of this work. Why is faith important to organisations that are doing this work? Of course, there are. We should acknowledge there are lots of organisations that do this sort of work that are not faith-based. But given that we're talking about some of this, what's the faith factor? What does it do?
I think the faith factor for me is an eternal message of hope. And I think the faith factor is that inherently in people there is a goodness. And if we can reach into that goodness, bring it out, make it shine, that's part of the faith factor. And it's the hope for a better future, hope for a better tomorrow, particularly for staff and for our organisation. It's actually saying, how do we present people who've lived a life of hopelessness with hope? Now, that's not all about Christianity and saying, well, let's give you this big Christian picture. It's actually about hope for a job, hope for a house, hope for your children to be successfully educated so they can get a job and a house, hope for health.
Hope that my husband's not going to bash me up. I mean, that sort of stuff.
I mean, that's the real world for a lot of people, and actually starting to restore that is a powerful thing, and that's part of the faith thing to me. And actually, this is a personal kind of perspective. The thing I liked about Jesus is what he talked about was bringing goodness into people's lives and a better life. And it wasn't all about a big spiritual woo-hoo kind of thing. It was about empowering women. It was about giving freedom to people to succeed, to be equal in society. It was about creating opportunity and about hope. And that drives us at Mission Australia quite powerfully, that we want to give people opportunity. We want to see the kingdom grow by goodness happening around people's lives.
Can I ask how you got involved in this work in the first place, or at least interested? You mentioned Jesus. Is that a big part of the process?
Yeah, look, I became a Christian, and I became quickly aware after that actually this is a profound kind of experience that there were people who'd had a pretty tough life. And to be honest, I'd spent a lot of time not really caring about them. Frankly, in my previous work, I was quite relaxed about laying people off and putting them out of a job and being part of the problem. When I came across some people who had profoundly failed in life, but I saw had goodness and some opportunity to do really well, and saw particularly a couple of people change dramatically and have totally different futures, even at quite an old age, I saw some massive transformation. I suddenly realised you can help people have a very different life, and that drove me. And part of the Christianness, I guess, drives that and says that part of what we can do is help people have a better future. But just personally seeing transformation, you see someone's life change and you see someone who is out of a job get into a job, and you see the self-esteem, you see the confidence build, you see the difference with their family and their children looking up to them. You hear those stories and you see it and you think, you know, this is powerful. It's better than any pay you're ever going to get. It's a really good thing. And so for me, that's driven by my faith. For quite a few of my team, it is, but there's other people on our team who aren't Christian, but they just love the fact that we can help transform lives, help create change and bring hope.
Can we talk about a kind of a righteous anger when it comes to social injustice? That sort of anger could promote positive change. What are the things that get you, if not angry, then frustrated and therefore motivated?
I personally think it is horrendous that in Australia today we have homeless people. I think it's horrendous that we've got kids growing up in an environment where they're leaving school at year 9 and, frankly, no one cares. No one's doing anything about it. We have more children in care in Australia than we have people incarcerated in Australia. We've got this total injustice around the number of Indigenous people incarcerated, total unfairness in terms of the crime that has been committed and then the sentence which is given to people. And you look at that stuff, and frankly, it does make me angry. And part of why we exist is to actually challenge these things and to say, as a society, we have to change. As Christians, we have to fight to say, no one should be homeless in Australia. It just shouldn't happen. And it is profoundly wrong that a white man gets a suspended sentence for something that an Indigenous person goes to jail for 2 years for. That's just wrong. It's profoundly wrong that we can't find a way that young people can stay within their family, within their community, and we have to provide this institutional care model, which often is painful and unfortunate. And I will guarantee, prophesying into the future, we'll be saying sorry to another generation of children who've been put into unfortunate care environments, because the volume has meant that we can't do much. There is something wrong when our society is like that, and we need to fix it. So those things make me quite angry.
What do you learn about human nature through that experience of what you're just talking about, you know, like that entrenched injustice, all that sort of thing?
Look, I'm a big believer that actually human nature is good at heart. In fact, we work with some very challenging people. I've met some very reviled people in Australian society. And in nearly every case, what I've seen is that there is immense good in most people. There's a very, very small number of people who are innately bad. And when you talk to people in the justice system, they'll tell you that. Most people, even in prisons today, have done stupid things, often on the spur of the moment, fired by anger. 95% or so have been affected by drink and drugs or mental health when they've committed a crime. And when you step back from that, you kind of realise that even those people we lock away have innate goodness within them quite often. And so I'm a big believer in the goodness, and I think Mission's job is to actually help people find that goodness within and let it shine, and once it shines, it grows.
Toby, when it comes to this question of how we deal with, you know, things like welfare, for instance, you typically get people on one side saying it should be all about tough love, and then on the other side you go, it's all society's fault and, you know, individuals aren't to blame. You know, where do you think the truth lies in that discussion?
They're both true. And the thing with that is that what we have to recognise is what we've got wrong in the past. What seemed a good thing in terms of providing welfare, which was an opportunity to support people at a time of need, has actually become an entitlement. We're all getting welfare, if you're earning up to 200 grand a year, you're getting some form of welfare from the government for something or other pretty much in Australia. It's not directed to those most in need. And what is profoundly wrong with our welfare system that needs change is to say that the most disadvantaged in our society are not getting the support they need. And you can see, because we're failing again and again and again. People in prison go back to prison. People on benefits stay on benefits. People with disability pensions stay on that pension. And we've created this environment where people are living on welfare, staying on welfare, not getting out of it. And it was never meant for that. What welfare should be for is for those in need. And we need to make sure as a society we look after those in true need as well as possible. For those who have capacity to work, though, my view is that they should go and work. I think work is a good thing for people. I think it's part of how we were designed to be. And it's about engagement. It's about networking. It's about being active. I think that's how we were created to be. And therefore, if someone's capable of work, I believe that we should help them in the process to get towards work. And that needs support for training. It needs support with access to work. But I question whether it's acceptable to say, is it okay just to keep pumping money at someone who actually genuinely says, I'm not going to make an effort to get into work? And I don't think that is. And equally, is it justifiable that someone with a severe disability has to live in absolute poverty because as a society we won't give enough support to them? So we've actually called for the federal government, both on the Labor side and the Liberal side, to say it's time for a complete review of the welfare system because it clearly has failed.
Your sense is tough love for the sort of the middle and upper earners, and more support for the most desperately in need.
Absolutely, and look, you know, that will affect me personally. So I'm happy to take a hit on any welfare I get from the government and have a bit less for me in return. I would hope that we can give more to those who most need it, and actually for all of us make a better society. And one of our problems is we too often think of ourselves and what we get. When it comes to welfare, which is about helping others, we should actually be saying, particularly on middle incomes, I will give up some of what I have to help those more in need.
Do you think we have a less sympathetic Australia because there is that sense of, you know, I want to keep what entitlements I do have and, you know, I will take a bigger slice of the pie than maybe I should, and that leaves less for other people?
Look, I think... generally, when you sit down and have a good, rational conversation with Australians, they're generous, they're caring, and they actually care about the disadvantaged. Often people just don't have time to think about it. And when it comes down to the reality of running a house, looking after kids, getting to school, having a job, having a mortgage on the most expensive housing in the world, which we have in Sydney and Melbourne, you know, that's a pretty tough gig to be living in. And people can easily turn inward and say, I just can't cope myself. And so I switch off from worrying about other people. But when you actually look at what Australians do in terms of volunteering, in terms of helping other people, we are a good society. We do a huge amount to help. But sometimes we have to turn around and say, you know, I do need to go up a little bit more to help other people.
Well, Toby Hall, you're passionate in your work and it comes out in the discussions. Great getting your wisdom on all of that. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.